Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And today's going to be a very, very exciting show. We, those of you listening, most of you will listen at later times, but for those of you listening now or in the next week, I hope you're enjoying this time of year. It seems to be pretty good weather everywhere. Today we are going to be talking about Hilo, Hawaii. And we've got quite a lot of listeners in Hawaii. So those of you who've been thinking about moving to Hawaii, I guess a lot of people that aren't used to Hawaii or have heard of, people know about Hawaii, always think of Hawaii being so expensive and just so ungodly expensive as a place to move. And believe it or not, Hilo is still one of the affordable places in Hawaii that you can move to. It's such a special place. And so today our guest is going to talk about Hawaii and Hilo specifically. And if you want to call in, the number is 347-945-5428. So if you're thinking to move to Hilo, Hawaii, on the Big Island of Hawaii, we want you to listen in because we have Stephanie Schumacher, who's going to fill us in on the culture, lifestyle, pricing, and more, who's lived on the Hilo side for over 30 years, raising six sons. I'm so thrilled. She's actually just come on board with our real estate brokerage on the islands, and I'm so thrilled because we're going to have a lot of fun together. And Stephanie was born in Sausalito, California, Marin County. After graduating high school, she set off to surf and for college. I wonder how that decision got made, to go to the University of Hawaii Hilo campus, graduating with a bachelor's degree. Then she went on to Chaminade University, which is on Oahu, for her master's degree. Then falling in love, she moved back to Hilo, where she raised six sons and has helped many buy and sell properties. She also makes stained glass and taught art. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Stephanie. Hey.
Hey, Natalie. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a pleasure.
I'm so thrilled. This is going to be fun. Because you know everything about Hilo, so tell us how did you get when you decided to come over? I'm assuming was surfing the first priority at that age or college?
No, actually, surfing was my priority. And you know, growing up in Marin, we used to surf over in West Marin, of course, Salinas and Stinson Beach, and you have to wear a wetsuit. And we would watch all these surfing movies, and Hawaii had the best waves, so we set off to Hawaii and actually went to Maui and then wound up on the Big Island because it's affordable and it has the university here as well, which is an absolutely great resource for anybody that's thinking of going to a university. University of Hawaii Hilo is awesome and growing, and a lot of the students can surf between classes if they want to.
That's going to be fantastic. So you you spent a lot of time on Hilo and then went to Oahu for your master's. What made you decide on going back to Hilo from Oahu?
Well, actually, the program was we'd go back and forth, and a lot of it was long distance. So we would go over to Oahu, but not to live.
Okay.
But Hilo, I had actually bought property here when I was young, when I came. And that was one of the reasons why we left Maui to come to the Big Island, was because property was very affordable and Maui was getting expensive. So I came here and bought the land, and then went on to build the house, and at the same time went to college. So it was, you know, back then, that was like 20 years ago, it was very doable. There was a lot less people and, you know, a lot less traffic and stuff. So it worked out really well. Because the property I bought was up in Curtis Town, so UH is in Hilo. So it is a little bit of a commute, but it's all very doable.
How far about from Curtis Town to Hilo? Just about, I know.
It's about, you know, depending on the traffic, it's about a good 25 minutes, 30 minutes. You know, we have the new Kamehameha campus that is in KL. So that's also an absolutely great resource for the Big Island. It goes from K to 12th grade. So that, you know, put a lot of stress on the highways there, too, as well with the traffic. So it takes about 30 minutes.
I know. It's so funny when I think about going in the 70s and versus going now. It's just a totally different world, but it's still very remote compared to, especially compared to Oahu, Maui, you know, as far as you still have a lot of the Hawaii conveniences, I think, the old charm conveniences, which is...
Oh, absolutely. Hilo and the Big Island is, like, just an amazing place. It's so diverse here. And Hilo is, you know, it's an absolutely great town. You know, it's right on the ocean there, which is really nice. And it has so much to offer. But at the same time, you know, it still retains a lot of its old charm and, you know, the culture of, you know, the people that have lived here for so long.
It's really yeah, it's beautiful.
It is. And they're doing a lot of restoration, and, you know, it's just amazing. And we have the Iniloa, you know, which is like an amazing planetarium, as well as exhibit, hands-on for kids. So we're getting, you know, Hilo's really growing, and it's growing in a great way, I think. You know, just
a lot of new,
exciting stuff coming. And it's such a great
resource. What I've noticed is, because on the Hilo, being on the east side of the island, and the east side of the islands are always wetter, and you have a lot more greenery than on the left side of the islands, on any of the islands, pretty much, right?
Right. Well, every island has their, you know, leeward and windward sides. So yes, we're the rainy side for sure.
Yeah, it makes it really, really beautiful, though. I think, and Kona on the other side, when you go, it's really nice now. They have what's called Saddle Road, and I've noticed they fixed Saddle Road, which now it's only, you can get to the other side in, what, about an hour and a half if you're going from Hilo to
Kona? Yeah, sometimes even, yeah, absolutely. They just redid it, and it just is such an enjoyable, you know, nice drive now. And it just makes it so much
I've heard the old one was a little
The old one was a little scary, but now it's like it's just a really great drive, and it makes it so much easier for people to commute, because a lot of people, believe it or not, commute every day back and forth. So it really helps.
And is that
them.
Because of jobs? Is that just because of jobs, or what?
Well, jobs, I think too, and like you know, a lot of the big union jobs. A lot of the guys here are in the unions, and they're all over in Waikoloa. And in Kona, with all the hotels and condominiums that are, you know, going in. So, a lot of people commute. Kona has just grown so much. I mean, it's like a completely different world than Hilo. Hilo and Kona are very different. And for anyone that's never been to the Big Island, you know, it's just great to go to both sides and check it out. Because Hilo, like you said, Natalie, is really wet. We have a lot of waterfalls, and it's really green and, you know, really lush and, you know, rainforesty. And Kona's super dry. but it's nice because they have the beaches. It has the beaches over there. So, you know, that brings a lot of people to that side. Because our beaches, we don't really have a lot of beaches on this side. We have a lot of surfing areas, but not, like, big beaches, you know. So a lot of places
you have with the Hilo Bay and everything is right, just because it's probably good fishing, and you have, but not really.
For sure.
I love it. I just love it. And people, when you're looking at the Big Island, you think Hilo, Kona, but then there's so much, there's so many other areas, you know, around the south, north, et cetera. Well, and you've got on your side, Hamakua Bay, which is beautiful, north of Hilo.
Absolutely. It's just really diverse, you know. There's like this island covers like all the different ranges too for people that are looking for real estate. Like, you know, you have homes that are really affordable, and then you have, you know, homes that are more expensive. You know, so it's like it's all the different areas are really unique to themselves. You know, so it's like little pockets of really cool places all over.
So somebody can pretty much buy, we have real estate, somebody could buy a lot there for such a reasonable low price, and on the Hilo side, right? Huh?
Right, yes, in Lower Puna, actually, it's pretty funny. You can buy a lot in Nanavali for $5,000, between four and five.
Oh my,
you can buy a lot.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing. I know, right? And it's like... you know, but these areas are, you know, in Lower Puna. They're further from Hilo. But, yes, it's cheaper than buying a car.
Because we do the real estate there all the time, and I went, but if you do, so the lots, the 4,000 to 5,000, basically people are going to have to be prepared for water catchment systems and.
Yes. Very good point. Absolutely.
You're not going to have your public in there, right?
Well, absolutely. You'll have electricity. Mm-hmm. Some lots may or may not actually have electricity there already, but it is available. These roads are, you know, gravel or dirt roads. They're not paved, and you would have to put in a cesspool. They just changed the law. You'll have to put in a septic system as well as a water catchment system to catch your water. So, there are pros and cons to the least expensive lots for sure.
But that's a good thing.
They are
so affordable. That's so affordable. And if somebody,
it is
amazing.
That's
and some people.
It's a diverse area.
Well, so now when you go into that, and then houses, somebody can put up a single family home. In these areas, for what they can, maybe their entire budget could be $100,000, $200,000, which is very, very affordable for Hawaii.
Yes, right? I totally agree with you. Yes, it is, and at the same time, we have like $10 million homes too. So it's like, so diverse, but it makes it really feasible for all the different kinds of people and their budgets, you know, and what's doable for them, you know, so. That's what I like about it. And yet it's still the Big Island, and it's super beautiful.
Yeah, you have the $20 million homes north of Kona, right? I mean, north, way up there.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
It's amazing. You're right. When you go, hey, can you think about it on the Big Island, go from 5,000 up to 20 million, right? So But it's funny. Yeah. On the Hilo side, I'd say the averages, we're seeing averages come in around 400,000, 500,000.
Yes.
350.
Yes.
We're on Oahu.
Yes.
Your medium price range is more like 600-700, right? It's. I guess one of the big things is what about internet connection? Because some people that are moving over, a lot of people, if they're going to come over and either they're retired, that's one thing. If they're coming over and they have young families and they need work. In our industry, we're lucky because we can work virtually in real estate. But and many more people these days seem to be able to work from home, and more employers are allowing the telecommuting. But for somebody that is – so if somebody's in that situation, they're going to want the internet because they're not going to – so it's
– I am so glad you brought that up, Natalie, because that is such a great point. The internet here, the Big Island is still pretty remote, okay? And a lot of these areas in Puna and on the Hilo side, believe it or not, do not have internet availability. Most of Hilo, I would say, probably does have Time Warner, which is the cable, which is what most, I have so some buyers, they do work from home, like you were saying, and they have to have that cable line. They can't go satellite or wireless. So it does make it harder for people in finding the right place. And then with these other areas, such as Nantavali or, you know, Hawaiian Paradise Park, which is a very big, fast-growing subdivision in Pune, a lot of these areas, they don't have, Time Warner hasn't made it down their road. It's not available yet. And if
is it available
in
parts of HPP? Is it in part of
it,
part
it
of
is,
the Hawaiian
yes.
Paradise Park? Okay.
It is.
But not
it
everywhere.
It's right. It's becoming more accessible. But yet there are, you still have to really do your due diligence and check, because you could have it on one road and then two roads over, you don't have it. So
that makes
just,
a lot of
it's one of those. Yeah, you have to really check. So that's a really good point. Now, as far as the other choices, like with wireless or with satellite, we have tons of different options for those. But once again, it really depends on the user and what they're using the internet for. You know,
do you think
so these are really good points.
Satellite would work? Yeah, satellite, because I know people
satellite
move and they
satellite does work. It, like I said, it really depends on what the person's using it for and, like, where
okay.
they live. Like, I've heard places, like, that it's really rainy. The satellite will go in and out with the weather. But, yeah,
that
you could
sense.
Use that same satellite system down in Kalapana Sea View or, you know, anywhere down there. And it's warmer, drier, hotter, sunnier. So, you know, that it works better. So it's one
that
of those
sense.
Things where you really have to, like, do your due diligence and really think about that before you make a purchase, you know, or
that,
where if you're going to whatever.
That makes sense. You're saying Hawaiian Paradise Park in Pune, it's interesting. There's over 5,000 lots in there, and the lots start up at the highway and then go all the way down to the water. So you can actually buy by the water or back up towards the highway. And those lots are usually around an acre, but I think I've seen some that are 12,000 square feet, you know, so varying. So that area would be spotty as far as internet goes then. Just some places have it and some don't. So you just check it out. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a good point, too, because up by the highway, the internet is way more accessible. And the one-acre parcels that are up by the highway, like really close, some of them also have water, county water. So, and then down by Kalole Point, that's huge. And then down by Kalole Point, it's more of a wealthier area of Paradise Park because it's right down there on the water. And it's part of Paradise Park, but it's a completely different, like, little zone, because once you hit 10th Avenue and you're going closer to the ocean, it's warmer and drier. So it's a different, weather pattern. And those
nice.
Areas do have cable. They do have cable.
So they have he who has the money, he who has the gold gets the cable, right? Okay.
Right. Well, I don't know why, but a lot of it, too, is, like, how many people on that road will buy into it, too? Like, if they haven't brought
Makes
it
sense.
Down that road, you know, and then if everybody shares the cost, then, of course, they'll bring it right in. Now, another good point about Paradise Park is there are a lot of wells there. People are opting out of the water catchments, and they're digging and finding water. There's evidently a huge artesian spring reservoir. And so they're getting water. Yeah.
That's
so
fantastic. You know, I checked into for a large parcel before on the Big Island, where in the mainland, for example, you used to be able to drill wells for $8 to $10 a foot. On the Big Island, going through lava, it was more around $100 a foot the last time I checked, and that's been quite some time ago. So
you're completely correct. That's what I heard the going rate was $100.
Wow. And so I wonder, they probably don't have to go down too far because of the water, right? Well,
right. They don't have to go down too far. I do have some clients that have done the well as well as put in swimming pools, and they didn't have to go down too far. I forget, was it 100 feet or something? I forget how far they had to go down. But the closer you get down towards the point, the, you know, closer you are to that water table, too. because it's all a slope, you know, it's all kind of gently going downhill towards the ocean. And Paradise Park is a big subdivision, like you said. There's over 5,000 lots in there, which is huge. And they are paving all the roads. They are one-acre lots for the most part. And there's a, you know, once again, you have a lot of single-family homes, and then you have bigger homes. It just really depends.
We've got, I mean, we have something listed for $260,000, and then another one just went in escrow for $327,000, and then there's other ones on the market for $400,000 or $500,000, just kind of varying, you know, maybe, and then, of course, some people are higher, but that's, but
well,
the lots in there, I remember, huh?
No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just remember the lots in there where used to be, and you could get some lots years ago for $10,000, $30,000, $50,000 in Hawaiian Paradise Park.
Right now, you could probably get one for $25,000.
And that's a good deal.
Yeah, it depends. You know, it's such a big area. It's like you said, over 5,000 lots. But one of the great things is it has a really great community association. And they have a market, like a swap meet market. I think it's every first Saturday of the month. And they have different classes. There's a lot of different things happening in the park. There's actually a Waldorf school for people that are looking for alternatives.
The Waldorf school, okay.
Yeah, the Lama Lama Waldorf school is in Paradise Park. And it's a great alternative for parents that don't want to, you know, go to the public school. And there's other different private little schools. There's also quite a bit of different churches, believe it or not, and different things going on. You know, the people, it's amazing. The lots are zoned agriculture, so there are a lot of flower farms. There's macadamia nut orchards. There's fruit orchards. Some people
Beautiful.
Do have goats. And depending on how many lots, they might have.
And the roosters. The roosters, though, that's one thing we never seem to get away from.
Right. It's no CCNRs, and that's a really good point too. There are no CCNRs in Paradise Park, so you are allowed to have roosters. And
the crowing.
So, but you know, once again, not everybody has them. It's not like they're everywhere. I don't think there's
I'm just so used to hearing the sounds, you know, because you hear them usually four or five in the morning at different areas, and then I was in Eva not too long ago, and I'm hearing it at 8 and 9 in the morning. I'm like, what are you guys doing? I thought you were supposed to be at like 3 or 4, you know. But it's just, it's really, but it's not a big deal. On Hawaiian Paradise Park, it's about, would you say for our listeners, about 20 minutes from Hilo, is that accurate, or a little bit longer?
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. It really, they just did a road improvement there on the highway. They widened it to, you know, help with the traffic. So I would say, it depends on what time you go. Like if you're going to leave in the morning when school's on, it's probably going to take you a little bit longer. But on an average, on a regular day in the middle of the day or whatever, probably 20 minutes.
So to
know,
go over and to jump up the saddle. Yeah, to jump up then to Saddle Road and go over to Kona, how long would that take about?
Probably an hour and a half, maybe. What a lot of people do is they carpool, too. So they, like, all park, like, in Hilo or going up Saddle Road, and then they carpool. And oftentimes a lot of people leave, like, super early in the morning, so there's no traffic, too. So.
Oh, that's it. I wonder, you know, so if somebody could pick up a lot for $25,000, $30,000, they may even be able to buy a prefab home and then get permits and then put something in a really reasonable budget. The lots that are about $4,000 to $5,000, how far away is that? Because that's water catchment. That's going to be about further down south from Kona, I mean from Hilo.
Oh, absolutely. That area is south of Pahoa, the little historic little village town of Pahoa. So, yes, that's way further. And once again, you know, it all depends on what your goals and objectives are. You know, some people come here, they go there and they retire. They like being, you know, further away from everybody, more remote, and, you know, just kind of just to do their own thing. it's pretty lax.
They and then right in Hilo Town, I would think everything's pretty much public water and sewer.
Yes, absolutely. It is. It's county water and sewer, and of course you'll have a really good accessibility to the cable and all that kind of stuff. And we do have a good bus system. I mean, it's not the best. It doesn't go everywhere, but there is a bus system that does, you know, hit different points of Hilo, and it'll take you to all the way around the island, you know, both ways, you know, at Volcano down to Pahoa and so on. So, you know, it is, I do have a client that's never driven, and he lives in Hilo. He's from New York, and he's used to the, you know, great transportation in New York, cabs or subway.
Right.
And so the bus everywhere. He knows that bus schedule, and he takes the bus, and, you know, it works for him. So
that's
anyway.
On Oahu, the bus will take you anywhere on the whole island, but it's really crowded. You know, Hilo's got the,
right.
got the
yeah.
other special. It's so special. And this is Natalie Malinick with Real Universal Radio, and this is Stephanie Schumacher. And Stephanie, you want to give your phone number also out? People can also get
it.
They can also email us and go to the radio, and we'll give it, but it's good to also do that.
Sure. Do you want me to do it right now?
Sure. Sure.
Oh, okay.
Good.
Okay. It's 808-938-4091.
This time goes by so fast because there's so much I want to cover with you, and people that are thinking of moving always are going to be interested in these particulars that we're talking about because of jobs, money. If they're retiring, it's a different story. Vicinity, internet, the churches. You said the another. We've got Volcano is beautiful, and that's not too far from Hilo either, right? South Hilo.
That's a very beautiful little area as well. It's amazing. It has a lot of hapu'u ferns and ohia trees, and it's got the Volcano Village. It's close to the Volcano National Park. There's also a winery, believe it or not, up in Volcano, and a golf and country club. And there are properties in the Volcano Golf and Country Club, which are really nice. And those homes up there, they're very similar to mainland homes. A lot of fireplaces and very different to homes that are in Hilo or in lower Puna, just because of the temperature. It's colder up there. It's a higher elevation, and it's just a different little zone. So it's just amazing. You know, all the different little areas.
It's so eclectic. You have so many different things, just so much everywhere, really, that you can decide on. And that's just on the, you know, the windward side of the island, the east side of the island, on the Hilo side. If you jump over, like you said, over to Kona or north or south, it's totally different. It's neat because somebody can really have the best of all worlds. The Big Island, I was looking at some statistics that said it looks like in Hilo, because on Oahu we have over 1 million people, in Hilo they're averaging around 43,000. And on the Big Island totally, I was looking, it says around 150,000, 160,000. That's a big difference. 40-some thousand is not very many people, I don't think, when you...
It is. It's a huge difference. It really is. But it is, you know, it is growing. You know, I think a lot of people are, you know, they're realizing that the Big Island has all these special things to offer, and it's so diverse. And depending on where they're at, you know, there's a place for them. And so people are coming here. A lot of people are retiring, or people are coming here because of jobs, especially with the astrology, the Iniloa, the planetarium, all of that is bringing a lot of jobs. And the college has a new pharmacology department, so we have a lot of nursing, medical students coming here. So it is changing. Yeah, it's changing. There's definitely a movement of people.
So you raising six sons. I mean, I'm sure education was a huge deal for you, and you've taught for years too. So tell us, for people thinking about that aspect of it, what you said.
Well,
you mentioned
that's
the water
a really good.
And, Yeah,
that's a really good point, because that is a big question for families that are moving here with school-age children. They do ask me. The great thing is I taught special education here for 15 years in the public school system, and I loved it. It was great. You know, the public school system isn't for everybody. And with that said, there's a lot of choices. We have St. Joe's, which is a Catholic school in Hilo. And we also have Highly Christian, which is my youngest son goes there, which is in Hilo. There's a lot of charter schools. We even have charter schools where the children just speak Hawaiian, which is like an immersion program where they speak Hawaiian and the parents have to take Hawaiian classes so that they can speak Hawaiian at home with their children. The Hawaiian culture is really making a strong comeback, which is great. So, and we have charter schools that focus on other things, like there's even a school down in Lower Puna where the children not only learn Hawaiian culture and values, but they also, you know, get to surf and swimming, fishing. That's also
fantastic.
Part of it.
I love it. I love it. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, not at all.
I was talking to Samantha on the Kona side like 2 weeks ago, and they said their children were in robotics for years in the school system on the Kona side, that they were actually part of the curriculum because we have, you know, there's so much teaching outside, indoors, et cetera, and we've got the best environment in the world, one of the best, to get in the ocean, to get up on the mountains there, too, and study so much. They have robotic classes, which was really interesting, and
There's public schools here. There's so many great teachers. You know, in all honesty, sometimes the public schools get a bad rep, but in all fairness, you know, there's awesome teachers that are doing the very best they can, and there's great things like robotics in the school systems here, and a lot of children do very well that go through the robotics, and a lot of kids here from the Big Island have gone on and, you know, done amazing things with their lives, you know, that came from the public school system. You know, so there, it really depends, I think, on, you know, what you know, the parents' ideology is and, you know, what works best for them. But there are a lot of choices, you know, and I think that's the most important thing is that there are choices for people and their children.
It's wonderful. We're not, I mean, as real estate brokers, agents, we're not allowed to give our, we always have to direct people to get the information about the schools, unfortunately, because I always wish we could say more than we're allowed to, you know, as far as different schools go, but we can always direct everybody in the right place to get the direction, you know, information to find out what the ratings are, how it is, if there's been complaints, how people, you know, just to get as much data as possible, just like with the police departments, we always have to refer people as far as crime rates and history and things like that. But there's such a variety to choose from, which is fantastic.
I agree. You know, this is the thing, you know, nowadays with internet and all the information so available, I totally encourage anyone that's thinking about coming here to do their due diligence and to, you know, go online or, you know, make the phone call and ask, you know, get a feel, you know, of the what's happening and talk to people because that's really important. And with so many different choices and alternatives, you know, it's all the information is there. And
I think
everyone.
I'm gonna take a look at a couple things, and then we want to talk a little bit about like what airports. I think we've got the two, and then they're smaller, and then some of the hospitals, what people do for healthcare. I was pulling just for our listeners. Hawaii Island is commonly referred to the Big Island, Hawaii. It's really a W is pronounced as two V's, but we all get used to just saying Hawaii, even though it's really Hawaii. And it's the largest island in the Hawaiian chain of islands that make up the state of Hawaii. Hilo is one of seven regions that make up the Big Island, along with six other areas, Kona, Kahala, Coast, North Kahala, Puna, Kauai, and the Hamakua Coast. Puna, it seems like people, even though it's south of Hilo, kind of tie everything in, I think. Do you agree? It's kind of, it's
kind of,
Puna
yes.
stretches
yeah,
a bit interesting.
Kind of do, but Hilo's not Puna, so it's like,
right.
But they do, it's all kind of going south down to Kalapana where that the lava flow came and kind of cut off the chain of craters road.
Yeah, I
want
to talk to you about. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but no,
I
no, no.
Talk to you about that.
So, yeah, go ahead. What?
That in a minute, I was just going to go through a couple of things I was going to mention was well, Chris has lots of waterfalls, rainforests, blooming gardens. Downtown Hilo overlooks Hilo Bay and is situated upon two dormant volcanoes. But then we also have. We also have the other volcano. We have other active volcanoes. So that's interesting. I wanted to get into a little bit about how the lava zones go so people know to look for that when they come over and a little bit about the airports and the hospitals and what type of health care there is before we wrap back around. And, this time
okay,
flies
well,
by so fast. It flies by so fast. So gums.
Well, Hilo has the Hilo. It has the Hilo Medical Center, the hospital, and then there's Kaiser, I think, too. And let's see. There's we have different like clinics. You know, like I guess you know what would they call them? Like the Bay Clinic. They call it, and there's one in KL, and I think there's one in Pahoa. So there's different, with more people coming here, there's more these kind of facilities opening up, too, so people don't have to go all the way to Hilo, because back in the day, Hilo was the only place on this side, except for Honoka'a, that had any kind of medical. And then there is a little hospital out in Pahala, which is going south towards Na'alehu. And then,
is that
course,
a holistic hospital or regular hospital? Is that holistic or regular, I wonder?
I think
I know
it's a regular hospital.
Okay.
I think it's and then there's a hospital in Waimea, and then there's one in Kona. But the Big Island is so big that they're kind of, it's kind of really spread out. So it just depends on where you live and what kind of, I guess, healthcare coverage. There are a lot of other alternative things as well. There's a lot of holistic and naturopaths and acupuncturists here too, chiropractors, like that. So it just really depends, I guess, you know, on
a lot.
I guess your health and what you need or, you know, just, and once again, it's always good to do your due diligence and, you know, find out the different ratings and what the different hospitals have to offer, et cetera. But the one in Hilo is right there in Hilo, so pretty centrally located.
It's so neat. I was reading the first inhabitants.
I have
Kaiser.
I have Kaiser, and I like Kaiser.
You know, I like Kaiser.
Yes.
You constantly do hear of people flying over to Oahu to have surgeries or things if they need to from the Big Island or Maui, depending on what it is. But
Yes. That is an unfortunate thing, depending on what the medical, you know, situation. They do air vac them over to Kapiolani, Queens. And other facilities on Oahu. So, but a lot of that's changing too because we're getting more doctors here and, you know, they are boosting, they're trying to boost everything up, especially now
it's
the
really
college
growing.
Has. Yeah, it is growing. It is growing.
What's so wonderful on the Big Island is there's plenty of land. I mean,
there's a lot of land. There's a lot of land here, and it's people don't, you know, they think, oh, if I move here, I'm going to get island fever. I'm not going to be able to handle it, and it's amazing, but people really, there's so much land here that people don't really get that feeling. I mean, of course, some people will,
right.
But it's, yeah, It's amazing.
Maybe we get more on Oahu because it's a smaller island and it's packed. Maybe that's
right,
what it is.
It's
even though Oahu's beautiful, it just has different. It's a totally different style of living. Yeah. Kind of.
It is. So
yeah,
different.
With all that land, so you don't think as many people get island fever. That's good. It's really good.
Yeah, but that has been a concern with clients. But then you know you meet up with them, you know, later on, and they're like, "Gosh, I haven't even been to Kona. I've been so, you know, because it's such a big area, and you know, even going to Kona, even though it's on the same island, it's like going to another place entirely. So I think it keeps people from feeling like they're on an island. And then we had
that
snowfall on our dormant volcano, Mauna Kea, that, you know, is right there above Hilo. And we had snow last week
that fell, which was amazing.
Really cool. Yeah, it was cool. So, you know, sometimes, you know, in the wintertime, the mountain will be covered with snow and everybody will go up there and play in the snow. It's pretty cool. Or my sons used to snowboard. They would snowboard in the morning and then they would surf in the afternoon.
That is wild. That's good.
Yeah.
That's heaven. Snowboard in the morning and surf in the afternoon and go to school in the middle. What a life. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
And you can. One thing is you can get away from the cold so quickly, right? It's not like on the mainland when you're stuck in the winter. It's so, so cold.
Right. That is a great thing for sure. And like I was saying, you know, volcano, like I have a lot of clients that it's too warm in Hilo for them. So like volcano or upcountry, Curtistown, Mountain View, volcano, those they like those areas because it's cooler and, you know, it's easier. It's not so hot. So
I love it. That's the Mauna Loa Macadamia Nut Corporation still there south of Hilo?
Yes, it is. Uh huh. Yes, it is.
It says it's the world's largest processor of macadamia seeds. Wow.
Yep. It's still there, and I think they do tours still, and they export and a lot of macadamia nuts and products and stuff. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Amazing. You don't really see it. There's so much land here. So like when you're driving on the main roads, there's not many of them. We have the belt road that goes all the way around the, you know, the island. But there's so much land on either side that you could have like hundreds of acres of macadamia nut trees, papayas, bananas, and you don't really see it, you know. So there's just a lot of food grown on this island. And we have a lot of markets.
I remember too they had the nice farmers market on Saturday and Wednesdays depending on I think Hilo was Saturday was it both days and then if you drove down a little bit towards Volcano there was another one.
Yep.
So you have a lot of organic.
You're absolutely
that's great.
Yeah, the Hilo market, the big days when all the vendors are there and it's like both sides of the street.
I love that.
Everything jewelry, to plants, to produce, to vegetables, to fruit, to everything imaginable. Wind chimes, there's even like a psychic reader, artist. That's on
everything.
Wednesdays and Saturdays. Yeah, you got the whole gamut. You got musicians. And then the other days, it's like a really quieted down market. It's like most of the vendors are selling flowers. Anthuriums and all different kinds of, you know, flowers and mostly produce. So, which is great because you can go in there and get like a bag of produce for $10, you know.
Wow.
And you can get your flowers.
That's a good deal.
And orchids.
And it's fresh.
A lot of orchid farmers here. And it's fresh too, yes. And you can make deals, you know. The time of day you go in there, if you go in there towards when they're wrapping it up, you might get, you know, more produce.
You can barter your vegetables for the week. That's all.
Yeah.
Hey, what about, do they have any place, asking questions for our listeners on the, for shows, like to see a show or a play or theater?
Well, that's a good question. We have the Palace Theater, which we get a lot of, you know, films that go through the film festival and things like that there, which is really cool. There's different theaters all over the island, actually, that do that. And then there's UH Hilo does performances in their theater. And let's see, we do get concerts. A lot of concerts are on the Kona side too, Waikoloa.
Mm-hmm.
It's different musical things. And then just different, you know, events that happen throughout the year that happened here. We just had Mary Monarch, which was the big hula competition.
That's
so we
every
had
year.
People from all over the world. That's once a year. We just had that where they all the halaus from all over the world come to compete for the title of, you know, the Mary Monarch. And then they have the parade that follows. And it's pretty amazing. It's just amazing where the hula, you know, for so long the hula wasn't really performed, and now it's made such a great comeback with the Hawaiian culture. And, you know, we all the people that compete and come from all over, which is great.
Wonderful.
And, yeah,
they have a huge
different
marathon, too, the marathon, but that's on the Kona side, right, on the other side.
Yeah,
marathon every year.
The Ironman triathlon. Yep. Yeah, just there's just things that are happening everywhere, and it depends on where you are, and then you would hear more about those, you know, events and stuff.
Right.
But there is a lot going on here. A lot. It's
and
not
you can help anybody moving there too right away. I mean, it's you know it like the back of your hand, so it's easy. It's easy.
Right. Well, I'd be more than happy to do the best I can to assist anyone. But once again, it's all about, you know, information, being informed, and, you know, having choices, and so you can make an informed decision, you know, what's best for you. Because even though we're part of the United States, it's so different from the mainland, you know, it's completely different, you know.
It's very different.
It's very
you
different.
How many people say to me, do we need a passport? I'm like, you know, it's the United States. You wonder, like, where they went. But it is different, and I think on the island, sometimes everybody wants to be apart from the mainland anyhow. It is very different, very, very different.
It is. But there's something to be said about that because, like, with the big boom, we had that real estate boom, you know, before the market, you know, went flat or died. And so a lot of people, you know, were coming here, and with those people, a lot of people were trying to get away from the mainland. But then everybody brings a little bit of that with them. So with that said, you know, a lot of the roads got improved in these subdivisions, and there were more voices active in the maybe more sleepy associations, and now they're thriving and, you know, new energy and new ideas and, you know, different things happening and different businesses, new businesses and services that are being offered that weren't offered before. That makes life easier when you're living, you know, in the most isolated landmass in the world, out in the middle of, you know, nowhere. So, you know, with that said, you know, it's nice. It's so diverse. I keep saying that. It's such a diverse place because we have people from all over the world here, and different languages spoken and different ideas, and yeah, so it makes it really fun. And the markets.
I love it.
Keep going back to it. It's a great place to live. It really is. I think we were voted like one of the most healthiest places. I think I saw that not too long ago.
Can you believe we're almost at the end? We have about 10 minutes left. It always runs by so fast. It goes by fast. The couple things, because, of course, people buy, and, of course, everyone will tell them, you know, about the different things to look for. We have lava zones on the Big Island, and we have to, you know, if lava zone one is the worst as far as the volcano coming over your property, et cetera, and all the way up to, is it four or five? We have...
It's nine, which would be out in
Hawaii. Oh, if you get down to the technical, okay.
Right, but basically, like from Puna and you know down, it's between one and three. So three and up towards volcano two, it's one and three. It changes when you get out towards Kahala, and then of course when you're north of Hilo, it changes that too. It's the least threatened area. Yes, there is an active volcano here. And it almost threatened Pahoa recently. It did hit the dump, the transfer station, but it didn't cover it. It came right up to it. It's pretty amazing. So there, that is something also to think about. It's amazing, though, you don't really think about it that much because it's so much part of our life, and you don't really see where it's flowing because it's in all
right.
the forest, that mm-hmm. you don't really think about it. I mean, I know that sounds kind of weird, but it's
not something we think about.
Yeah. It's not
we
like
have,
an imminent threat. You know?
Yeah, I know, because they look at, like, the first four. There's up to, I mean, they're looking at it, like, the, most companies, like banks, it's hard to get a loan maybe in one, but in three is more doable. Two's iffy, but there's still lenders that lend, right? Is that correct, or do you find?
Yes, absolutely. I haven't heard of too many problems in two and three, although mm-hmm. When the lava was going towards Pahoa, different areas were from, they were thinking about, you know.
I guess that they were thinking, now this isn't a good time. And, you know, the news
right.
doesn't help all over the world.
Right.
It was,
right.
people were thinking it was all of Hawaii. I mean, I was getting an unbelievable amount of calls. That the, that was in 2014, and I have a note here. It said that back then it would take the lava, they were estimating, depending on the location of the actual eruption on Mauna Loa, it would take the lava about 29 hours to reach the shoreline below Hawaiian Ocean View Estates. The lots, you can buy pretty good prices in there. You can get lots for pretty good prices. Subdivision of Kau, and it said as little as 3 hours to reach South Kona shoreline, 8 days to reach the bay, and 280 days to reach Hilo Bay. So that's what they were looking at if that happened. That's a different... That's a different situation, but they can kind of. When was the? Let's see. We had the. That's a different. Yeah, but they can kind of gauge timing, right? A little bit.
I guess they can. I think it's like an evolving science too. Like they're studying it like every day. Like if you go up to the Volcano National Park, you know, it's a great educational experience on, you know, how they. You know, what tools they use and everything and how they gauge it. But once again, it is nature, so, you know, anything could happen.
I know Kilauea is what erupted last year. Well, actually in 14, right? And they're trying
right.
to, I guess, yeah, Mauna Loa hasn't done it since 1984. So that was like, yeah, it is, you're right. Now, I've had people that said they don't care if it's in one, they're going to buy anyhow, but that is riskier.
Oh, Natalie, it's so amazing. There's people, and this is just the most amazing thing. Down in Kalapana, where I actually put my first little house up, and it got taken by the lava in 84 or something. Yeah, it was really slow moving, and, you know, we were all helping each other evacuate, and, you know, it wasn't scary because the houses just kind of catch on fire. It's not like this river of red lava, you know, rushing through. It was a very slow-moving process. But all the land got covered, right? And so now if you go down there, there are people that are building right on the lava.
Wow.
And they love it. They love
wow.
it. You wouldn't believe all the houses. And the most amazing thing about the lava is that it's extremely fertile. And so, you know, 10 years ago, you went down there and you just saw black lava. Well, you go down there now and, like, people plant things and there's houses and you're just like, oh, my goodness. You know, so it's just an amazing way to look at how, you know, how things evolve, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But land here is really fertile. You can take a cutting off of a tree or a bush and put it in the ground and it'll grow. I mean, you can just grow so many different things here.
It's amazing. It's beautiful, though. It's
yeah.
Amazing. Well,
it is. We live on an amazing planet.
We do. We absolutely do. And
this
has been wonderful.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think it was a delay. Go ahead.
I was just thinking that, you know, the lava thing is, once again, you know, just do your research on it and, you know, talk to people on how they feel about it, you know, if that's a concern.
And there's plenty of areas where you're exactly. There's something everywhere. And there's plenty of areas where you're going to be safe with it, too. So it's not, it's just always good to mention it. And people, we get, well, we give everybody their due diligence list, right? That's,
sure. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes. Definitely.
And, I did hear, one thing I was going to mention earlier about the water when somebody's, if they, water catchment, I have not, you hear people sometimes from the mainland think, oh my gosh, I could never use water catchment. Well, water catchment is pretty good water. And I heard way back, I think Linda Lingle had pipes, this is a while back when she was governor, had pipes installed on the Big Island in certain areas where they don't have any water and the actual residents are allowed to come down and get water from the pipe.
Yes, that's a really good point too, Natalie. We do have areas like, okay, but with water catchment, the whole concept is you collect the water off your roof. So
right,
you want to keep your
rainwater.
Roof really clean. Right, you want to keep your roof really clean and around the house. You don't want to have trees and stuff so there's no debris in your gutters. So with that said, if we do get a period where it hasn't rained and you've used up all your water, there are water delivery people that will come and deliver water for a fee. And there's also for free, there's areas set up in different designations where you can come and fill up water. And
that's
many
fantastic.
People do that. They put it in the back of their truck, these big old water containers.
Right.
They up and bring it home and pump it into their water catchment and, you know, and like that. So it does help the people for sure.
And people can have the systems and filters and things like that. I don't think the water catchment is as scary as what somebody is not used to it. It's really very used to it. I've never understood why you see them right in the smack back of the yard. You know, I'm always thinking, why didn't they put that further back in the yard? Because it almost looks like you have a pool sitting there. An above-ground pool, but they put it right near the house. But I'm not, I guess just for costs they do that, but I would want it further back.
Right. Well, once again, you know, fortunately a lot of these lots are pretty big. So if you have an acre of land and you can put your water catchment, you know, further away, you just have to...
I would put it way in the
back.
Yeah, I've seen so many homes where they put it right back up in the back, right by the house, and I wouldn't do that. I would put it much further back. Yeah.
Well, once again, you know, it's one thing looking on plans on where everything's going to go, but then when all those objects are actually there and you're not looking at paper, it's like, oh, my God, that water catchment's right there. Maybe we should have, like, moved it or something. But,
I think it when I see the ones already built, and I always mention it if they're not. So it's interesting, or I have. But this
right.
has been
but
such a pleasure. Having you on today, it really has
been
great.
It's been my pleasure.
And,
thank you.
And
thank you so much for having me.
I'm so thrilled.
Really cool.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun. A whole lot of fun.
Well, this was a lot of fun, and thank you to all the listeners that are listening. And aloha.
Yeah, and hey, you have no. I mean, you've been there in Hilo for over 30 years. You love it. And it's always home for you. Is there anything you'd like to tell anybody, just the last parting shot before we say bye? Save it.
Well, I think that for anybody that's curious, the Big Island or about Hawaii in general, and if you have the inclination, come and check it out. I think you will be really happy that you did. It's a really beautiful place, and there's a lot of great people here. And there's a lot of great things happening here. And a lot of people that have moved here are really, really happy that they did. So anyway, if you're into the ocean and into being into nature, and this might be a great place for you.
Absolutely. It's all year round. All year round. Gosh, it's been great. So, Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll have to do this again, too. Maybe we'll plug for everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Yes, me too. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.